Yaiswadeha Smritonatma Martyo Vidkrimi Basmavat Enam Asat Atma Sadkritva Shragayantiya Satama. Sannyasis who first consider the body, that the body is subject to death, when it will be transformed into stool, worms, or ashes, but who again give importance to the body and glorify it as the self, are to be considered the greatest rascals. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Purusthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Pucharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Satarane. In this verse, some further clarification of the meaning of sannyas is given. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has given us some important principles of sannyas. In the 17th chapter, he says, Abhayam Sattva Samshudhir Jnana Yoga Yavyastiti. So, every person in a certain position should have the qualifications for that position. Simply to have a position without the qualifications will not make one successful. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has defined different persons, especially those who are supposed to be in elevated positions, and have also defined their qualifications. Just like if one is supposed to be a rich man, but he only wears rags, and he has no money in the bank, and he can't pay his telephone bill, then when they question, in what respect is this person factually a rich man? Although others may glorify him as being rich, but if he cannot pay even his telephone bill, unless he speaks quite a bit on the telephone, then how can we actually consider such a person actually to be wealthy? Similarly, if one is supposed to be renounced, then the question is, what is he actually renounced? We had one sannyasi within our society who went outside the society with a group with his followers, and one day he decided to marry. And he declared that now I've made the final renunciation, I'm renouncing my renunciation. So this is not the definition of renunciation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained that there may be renunciation in the mode of goodness, there may be renunciation in the mode of passion, there may be renunciation in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, one who gives up his duty because it's troublesome is said to renounce the mode of passion. One who neglects his duty completely or performs another's duty is said to renounce his duty in the mode of ignorance. And one who does his duty without attachment, then such a person who does this as a matter of duty, then his renunciation is said to be the mode of goodness. So that it is not that everyone, simply by appearing to be renounced or claiming to be renounced, is necessarily renounced. So here it says or emphasizes that especially Abhayam Sattva Samshudhya Jnana Yoga. So Jnana Yoga means that one has to have knowledge that actually connects one to a higher platform of consciousness. Without being connected to a higher platform of consciousness, then one is not actually properly situated, and whatever position one may apparently have will not be a permanent position. We've heard, yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savaraganas tatra samasate sara haravata sukuto mahaguna manorate nasiti davato vahi. That one may seemingly have all good qualifications. One may have many exalted aspects to his life. But if one is not factually connected with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, because one is factually in a different platform of consciousness, therefore one's so-called exalted position, so-called exalted activities, will not be maintained for very long. As soon as there is some opportunity, then Maya will come and allure one from that position, and one will find oneself in another situation. We have so many examples of famous examples, such as Vishwamrita Muni, who we've heard many times. He was engaged in great austerities and meditation, but simply by hearing some ankle bells under the right circumstances, then he fell down from his exalted state of consciousness. Similarly, Shobhana Muni, he also was in a seemingly very exalted position, that he was meditating underneath the water of the Jamuna for many, many hundreds of years. But within his consciousness, he was still thinking that he was something special. And therefore, when Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, came to take fish away from the Jamuna, then Shobhana Muni, feeling something within his consciousness, which he took as compassion, threatened Garuda not to come to the Jamuna. He was thinking that he was the protector of the fish. He was not thinking that Vishnu was the protector of the fish. He was not thinking that Garuda is the most intimate associate of Lord Vishnu, and therefore he would have to have some, he could not threaten Garuda, but thinking that he was some kind of protector, Suridam Sarvabhudanam. Therefore he committed an offense against Lord Vishnu, and as a result of that, it was seen that he was not the protector of the fish, but he could not even protect himself from falling down from his present state of consciousness. On the other hand, we have examples of someone like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Although externally he appeared to be an ordinary person engaged in mundane activities, but when Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda went to visit him, Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit that there was a very exalted Vaishnava. I'd like you to see him. I'd like you to meet him and get his association. When they entered into Pundarik Vidyanidhi's home, there they saw that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sitting on a very exalted bed covered with silken pillows with a canopy. He was dressed in silk with diamonds and jewels and gold covering his body. He was sitting on the bed smoking a hookah. So at this time, Gadadhar Pandit thought, this is an exalted Vaishnava? What kind of person is this? This is obviously a materialist. So Mukunda, realizing what Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, he began to sing one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying Lord Krishna, that how wonderful it is, aho bhakti, that how wonderful it is that this witch in the form of Putana had come to Lord Krishna in order to give him Kalakuta, a very venomous poison. But Krishna is so kind that instead of simply killing this witch and sending her to hell, he's sucked out her poison, purified her, and sent her to Vaikuntha to become his mother. So who could be more merciful than this Lord Krishna? Who is more worthy to take shelter of? When Pundarik Vidyaniti heard this, then immediately he became so overwhelmed with ecstasy that he could not control himself, and his arms and legs began to fly in all different directions. The bed was broken, the hookah was broken. He began rolling on the ground with tears in his eyes. And this went on for a long time. And then Gadadhar Pandit realized that although externally I had judged this person, but his state of consciousness internally was much different. On the other hand, here it's pointing out that generally speaking, people take a certain dress, and those who are not knowledgeable may assume that such persons, by their dress, are automatically qualified in a certain way. Just like the Babaji's and Radhakun, we've heard that sometimes those who are interested in attracting the opposite sex, they sometimes dress up as renunciates because it is assumed or known by a certain class of women that if they have a child with a renunciate, then the child will be very nice and elevated. So they especially go to the holy places to attract renunciates in order to have a child with them. And the renunciate, some unscrupulous men knowing this, they dress up as renunciates in order to encounter these women at the holy place in order to seduce them. This is called the cheaters and the cheating. But especially in Kali Yuga, this cheaters and the cheaters is very prominent. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga it will be seen that if someone simply has a sacred thread, then he'll be known as a Brahmin. That if one can simply talk very nicely, then he'll be known as a very learned scholar. In other words, one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is that as it goes on progressively, more and more and more, people will simply be interested in the externals, but not actually interested in either the philosophy or the actual activities of the person concerned. That the philosophy of a person and the renounced sort of life has to actually be abhayam, sattva, samashudhya, jnana, yoga, vyavyasthiti. That one has to understand that one is not the body. This understanding that one is not the body is not a sectarian concept, but that is reality. And on the basis of knowing that one is not the body, one has to understand that certain activities will lead me to purification, to the purification of the unwanted conception of misidentifying myself with the body. And certain conceptions and activities will lead me further and further into the misidentification with the body. Klesha dikataraste-sham avyakta-sakta-chetasam avyakta-hikatira-dukam deha-vadhya-avabhyate. But those who are impersonalists, who don't actually understand their position as Krishna's eternal servant, many times, in trying to advance in spiritual life, they often find themselves simply in more material conceptions. So this is called klesha. Klesha means misery. So the first klesha is avidya. And this avidya means we don't actually know things as they are. in the absence of Krishna consciousness, no one actually knows things as they are. And Krishna consciousness means that I am Krishna's eternal servant. That anyone who doesn't think I am Krishna's eternal servant is immediately in Maya. There may be different phases of Maya. Some phases of Maya may be more seemingly exalted than other phases of Maya, but it is all different varieties of Maya or illusion. And that Maya manifests itself as asmita or false ego. I don't know who I am, therefore naturally identify myself with this body. Not only with this body, but I identify myself with a certain class of persons, a certain nationality, a certain race, so many different misidentifications, upadis. So from avidya naturally comes asmita, and that further degenerates into rag and dvesha, attachment and aversion, and then abhinivesha. Complete absorption in the material concept of life and always being in anxiety what will happen in the future. Therefore, if we're in anxiety, or as Srila Prabhupada once said, if we're feeling morose, this is a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if one is in knowledge that I am Krishna's servant and that my activities should be directed towards pleasing Krishna, then one will naturally think of Krishna, and in the presence of Krishna, there cannot be any Maya, depending upon how much and how to what intensity and to what consistently we're actually meditating upon Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's associates. This is the path of actual enlightenment and freedom from his material misconceptions. So here, sannyas is a method of coming to a platform of freeing ourselves from these material misconceptions so that we can actually put ourselves in a position where we can hear the actual truth of our eternal relationship with Krishna. If one is cultivating or is fixed in a certain misconception of life, of identifying oneself with this body or the mind, then there's no possibility of actually understanding one's relation with Krishna. So sannyas is a part of the process. Taking sannyas is part of the vanashram system by which one can gradually free oneself from material conceptions and put oneself in a position where one can actually hear, understand, and follow the proper conception of life, namely, who is Krishna and who am I? Krishna is my Lord and I am his servant. But here's mentioned some of the basic misconceptions that one can think that I'm not this body, but now that I have the body, I might as well make the best use of the bad bargain and enjoy the body to the maximum extent. When they understand that I'm about to die, but in the meantime, we might as well have a good time. So this conception is not a very advanced conception. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time he was with Lord Nityananda, and they were traveling around Navadvip, visiting different places, and they came to one tantric sannyasi, who was dressed as a sannyasi, along with his wife, who was also a sannyasi. And they invited Chaitanya Gornitai into their house for a little, I forget what they call it,
happiness.
A little happiness. And it was all in one clay jug. So Lord Chaitanya said, I think we better leave. that this happiness is probably not very good. He was supposedly a sannyasi, and his wife was supposedly a sannyasini, and they were noted in the village as sannyasis, but their renunciation was not actually up to the standard. Therefore, Gaur Nitai, after their association, immediately threw themselves in the Ganges in order to actually get some happiness. Therefore, and we have to hear from authorities what is actually the standard, and then we can see who actually meets that standard. And by the way, Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna asked Lord Krishna many times, what is the standard? Sita pragyasi ka bhasha samadhi stasi keshara stiti di kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. How does a self-realized person walk? How does he talk? And what is his language? How does he sit? Arjuna wanted some indication. How can we judge who's elevated, who's not elevated? So Krishna did not say an elevated person, he's born in a certain place, he's so many years old, he speaks such a language, he says so many things that no one can understand. He actually gives us what is the qualifications of a person who's elevated. Yada prajayate karman sarva partha manogatan atmani vatmanas stita tushta stita pragya sitochite. Yada prajayate karman, one who gives up unnecessary material desires. Yada prajayate karman sarva partha manogatan, simply rising out of mental concoction. So there are so many varieties of desires that rise out of mental concoction. Eating too much, sleeping too much, or wanting to become something special. Wanting to become God, or in modern context, wanting to become the head of a religious organization so that everyone can think that you are very elevated, that I am the Acharya, everyone should surrender to me. Unless everyone surrenders to me, then no one can actually make any progress. So many varieties of Maya, from the gross to the subtle, but they're compared to wet stool and dry stool. That in India, when people pass stool, there is a controversy, perhaps you've heard about it and have a certain opinion, but some people assume that the side of the stool that's facing the sun and has been baked by the sun, purified by the sun, is better than the side that's wet. We won't run a survey. But our acharyas understand wet stool, dry stool, they're both of the same nature. So there may be purified Maya, elevated Maya, there may be more subtle Maya or very gross Maya, but after all, it's Maya, and according to the philosophy, patanyada nadrita yushmar angraha, eventually one Maya, other Maya, I'm the Acharya today, and tomorrow I'm dog. Today I'm God, and then there's a reversal, and I become dog. So the aim of life is not to get some material position, not to enjoy the material world. The aim of life is to take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, tyaktvasa dharma charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvo tato ite yadi yatra kvavava dharma bhusha abhura musha kim kvavata apto bhajitam sudharma taha. That although one may take to the devotional service of Krishna, and due to immaturity may later fall down from that position, then what is the loss for such a devotee? On the other hand,
when they very seriously and expertly execute one's position in the Vanashram system. But if one does not actually develop his devotional attitude, then what one has actually gained? Therefore, we actually have to hear from persons, what is their conception? It is a very broad conception. It is actually the conception, such as Srila Prabhupada had, that the aim of life of everyone on this planet is actually to surrender to Krishna, and to surrender to Krishna means to do service for Krishna, and to do service for Krishna means to spread Krishna consciousness, to assist in the spreading of Krishna consciousness according to our ability. Or others who think that the aim of life is to prove that somehow or another, in some way, that I am the enjoyer, that I am God, and they have millions of persons proclaiming that this person is the actual enjoyer, is the actual God, but does not learn or manifest the actual desire to spread Krishna consciousness in a cooperative way. Srila Prabhupada once said that your love for me will be shown by how you actually cooperate to keep this movement together after my disappearance. So Srila Prabhupada did not think that this movement was an ordinary movement. He wanted this movement to be a manifestation of his philosophy, the philosophy coming down into simple succession, which ultimately is very simple, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna, and that the aim of life is to realize that. And to realize that, we have to engage in service to Krishna, and service to Krishna means to spread Krishna consciousness. And to spread Krishna consciousness means to do it cooperatively with the other devotees to help the fallen souls come back to the spiritual kingdom. So the more one actually understands this, the more one actually manifests this, then the more we can understand that this person has understood what is actually renunciation. Nashitya karma phalam karma karya karma karotiya sasanyasi piyogicha ninniragnir nachakriya. That one is unattached to the fruits of his work, and who works as it's obligated, is actually the renouncer of life, and he is a true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no sacrifice. So one is actually engaged in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, because this is the order coming down to the simple succession from God himself in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's unattached to trying to take advantage of one's position, the Sankirtan movement, to claim oneself to be something special. So whether one is Grihastha or Vanaprastha, whether one is giving initiation or simply preaching or assisting, however, if one feels himself to be a servant of Krishna, simply gopi bharta pada kamalaya dasa dasa anudasa, then he is actually a sannyasi. He is actually properly situated in his position of eternal service to Krishna. And he is actually making progress towards the path of eternal good fortune. On the other hand, if one is not so much inclined to cooperation, if one is thinking himself special and others not to be so special, then such a person is not actually in a very fortunate position, and those who follow him, anda yatande upagiya manas te pisha tantra urudami bhara. Such persons will not actually get the goal of life. They'll go wherever he's going, which will not be directly to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once said, if we want to find Narada Muni, or we want to meet Narada Muni, then the best way of meeting Narada Muni is to find his footprints and then follow them. And then if we follow his footprints, then eventually we'll get to Narada Muni. So if we actually believe that Srila Prabhupada was actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, was actually in love with Krishna, and was therefore getting all of Krishna's mercy, then we'll follow in his footprints. And at least one time Srila Prabhupada wrote to me, not that I'm anything special, he wrote it many times to other persons, I'm just more familiar with what he wrote to me. One time when I was, as I mentioned this before, when I first joined the movement, I had actually received some of Krishna's mercy for one reason or another, and I was thinking I was very elevated, although I was also realizing simultaneously that I must be pretty crazy. But at the same time, I knew I had gotten some mercy. So I was, my temple president, he had one book which we couldn't read. So that was the book I wanted to read. It was called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was translated by one scholar and was commissioned by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. So I thought, this is the book which will answer my questions. So I knew where the book was, so at night I'd wake up and secretly read. So that was the book I wanted to read. It was called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was translated by one scholar and was commissioned by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. So I thought, this is the book which will answer my questions. So I knew where the book was, so at night I'd wake up and secretly read the book. And I was trying to figure out how bhava would turn into prema. Because I was convinced more or less that I was more or less on the bhava platform. And I was just curious how long it would take before it turned into prema. And what kind of experiences I'd get in prema, etc. Something to be... At that time, I was also the Sankirtan leader in our temple. So I'd send Srila Prabhupada dakshin for the books that we sold. Especially, we had gotten a little blue Bhagavad Gita. So all the money we collected for the little blue Bhagavad Gitas that we sold, we'd give the money to Srila Prabhupada. So I sent Srila Prabhupada one letter, along with the dakshin. And I asked Prabhupada, how does bhava turn into prema? Just wanted to confirm what I had read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Srila Prabhupada wrote me back a rather long letter, a longer letter than I expected, on different topics than I expected. So one of the things Srila Prabhupada said, please go out with your Sankirtan party and chant Hare Krishna all around Buffalo. And preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. That will make your life successful, and it will make everyone else's life successful too. He said, just like lying dormant within a match is fire, and if you strike the match, then the fire will come out, blazing. So similarly, if you simply chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then that Krishna consciousness will come out just like a blazing fire. Now we've just had Rati Acha here in San Francisco, and 10,000 boys and girls from your country, they were dancing and chanting in full spiritual ecstasy. That the boys and girls of your country, they're generally good souls. That's why they've taken birth in such a nice country. That I've heard that if they simply engage all their nice qualities in Krishna's service, that will be the finishing touch. That I've heard in New York, and just in 2 weeks, they distributed 3,000 back to Godheads very nicely. And then I've also heard in Buffalo that you're also distributing back to Godhead very nicely. So please continue in this way, and your success in life will be assured. That as Krishna sees that you're working seriously to help bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then he'll bestow all blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote me a little side thing. He said, oh, by the way, regarding your question, how bhava will turn into prema, there's no need for you to trouble yourself over such advanced topics at the present time. that my book Nectar of Devotion will be coming out shortly, and you can read something about it in there. And then another little note, he said, by the way, you said you sent me so much money, a check for so much money, but where is it? So, it was in such a way as not to mislead ourselves, mislead others, but we'll be able to become qualified to act in such a way as perhaps to help some of the misled persons who have not realized that the real success in life is to become Krishna's servant in a practical way, not simply in some imaginary way. So, I think I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Yes. Yes.
Is that a microphone? How do you ask questions?
You can take this one.
Thank you very much. And you made the comment at the end that when you please Krishna by the standard process that Prabhupada has given us, then Krishna will give us everything. And that Srila Prabhupada has given us this yardstick on which everything should be measured. And we also know that says very clearly that we determine what is truth. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita. We hear from Krishna, we hear from Guru, we hear from the Vaishnavas, we hear from the Bhagavata, and from Gita. And even in the Vedic society, in general, people are given the seat, the Vyasasana, the seat of the speaker, who have some spiritual merits. People are not interested in somebody who has not spiritual merits. However, since Srila Prabhupada is wrong, many times we take knowledge from people who are spiritually aimless, who are not following any principles, who are not even vegetarian. And we're giving them so much emphasis, whereas from the spiritual point of view, they are niched. They shouldn't even be heard, or to speak of taking knowledge from them. Of course, we have heard that the argument is not to take Rohan from a certain place, but the question is, this is really knowledge. And many times we have seen that as such, knowledge is injected from outside in our society, and later it turns out to be a huge trouble. Every major problem we have is coming from outside, to take knowledge from outside, a couple of years later, we end up in a major calamity. So my question is, how do you view this idea of taking shelter in outside sources as far as guiding us to accomplish what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to accomplish?
Well, thank you. There are many varieties of outside sources, but generally speaking, the main hearing that we should be doing is how to advance in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if we have a certain service to be accomplished in Krishna's mission, sometimes there's no Vaishnava available who are able to guide us in that particular subject matter, then sometimes we may take help, not thinking that this help is spiritual instruction, but it's just help for practical matters. It could get quite complicated. But generally speaking, we shouldn't mistake spiritual material and material for spiritual. We should understand who we're hearing from and what we're trying to gain from that person. So our main purpose is Smarta Vyaksaratam Vishnu, is to always remember Vishnu, Krishna, and never forget him. Because it is the essence of all the rules and regulations. So after hearing from someone, they'll actually help us to properly engage in devotional service and therefore remember Vishnu, then that person is worthy to be heard from. hearing from the person, he's going to impede our devotional service and actually help us forget Vishnu, then we shouldn't hear from such a person. Would you like to add something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question is then, if the hearing leads to then we intend to see Srila Prabhupada's instruction from the relative light, and start thinking, well, now we're living in different times and circumstances, or maybe Prabhupada's way to explain things is more Hindu fundamentalism or more, you know, something that doesn't fit the modern zeitgeist. And therefore we may have to think twice about the things we have learned from Srila Prabhupada and maybe give it a modern spin. If this is happening,